You're listening to the world famous Chick Whisperer podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
Hey everyone out there, this is Scott McKay once again coming at you with episode number 71 of the world famous Chick Whisperer podcast. I'll tell you what, today I'm pretty excited. I don't get to do this very often. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure I've ever done this before. But I'm going to reintroduce you to my co-host who's coming out of retirement after 5 years of not doing dating and relationship advice for guys. And her name is Amy Waterman. Last time you heard from her, she was living in New Zealand, working with the gang with Triple O Relationships and Meet Your Sweet, Mirabelle Summers and Slade Shaw and all those folks. And now she's coming back. She lives in Portland, Oregon now, launching her solo career as a dating and relationship expert. And I'll tell you what, it's a pleasure to welcome her back. Amy, how's it going?
It's going fantastic, Scott. Thank you so much for the great introduction. And it feels great to be back.
And you still have an accent from over there somewhere.
Yeah, luckily it's not a Kiwi accent. No offense to any Kiwis listening out there, but I've just spent 5 years in England. And so if I sound a bit odd, that's probably why. But I don't think I'm ever going to sound normal again. I think once you have a lot of life experience, it gets into your voice and that's it.
But you're actually American.
I am indeed. I grew up in Oregon and I left home. Left the small town, left the farm at 18, and I've spent 20 years, just about 20 years traveling the world, having experiences, having adventures, dating lots of guys, and I'm back home, and it feels good, but different. I think I see Americans as a bit of an exotic species now.
And I'm sure they see you as a bit of an exotic species now.
I'll tell you what, I'm getting a lot of looks.
Well, it's funny because you sound a lot like a person who's from England originally, who's been in the United States for about 15, 20 years.
Well, I'll tell you what, my daughter, I've got a 3-year-old daughter, and she is Miss Proper Prim Englishwoman. Everybody at her school is trying to pick up her way of speaking. And what it's definitely shown me is that there's a lot of power in the voice. There's a lot of power in how you choose to speak and how deliberate it is. And I think there's a lot of attraction just in the way you sound. And I know the guys out there know that.
Sure. Mm. So your little daughter's 3 years old running around in rural Oregon going, Mommy, whatsoever shall we do? And everybody's like, what? Where'd you adopt that kid from? I didn't know they adopted kids out of England. What's up with that?
It's fantastic.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, I want to remind the guys who have been around a while that you're the one who collaborated with me for that wonderful bonus that comes with my Deserve What You Want book on how to identify a high quality woman and how to be excellent yourself. And that has become just a legendary audio in the X and Y communications lore over the years. People just love that audio. And it's because you're so well spoken. And you have such a wonderful grasp of how relationships go. If I remember correctly, Amy, that was the audio where we talked about how women want a guy who is instead of who does. And that was something that resonated so much with guys, right?
Well, that's great, Scott, because I hope some of the men listening to this have heard that audio, because I'm going to go deeper into some of those ideas today. Because one thing that I have been doing in the last 5 years is I've really been looking. And because I haven't been dealing with what a lot of other people are saying about dating, and I've got a bit of clarity and a bit of space, I've been able to really look at the dating techniques that I've learned about over the past decade. Do they work? Are they really successful in getting us what we really want? And you know what I think? I think most of them don't. And that's what I'm here to talk about today. I'm here to talk about some ways where you can throw away the techniques and focus on something very different and experience actually instant change.
Dear God, Amy, are you telling me you actually have original thoughts?
No.
You're kidding me.
Absolutely not. But what I am doing is I'm stealing them from other disciplines and applying them to dating. I think that's what all great dating techniques are. They're ripping off from other people. So no, they're not original. But I'll tell you what, I think what you're going to learn today will shock you.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, something that's really, really interesting is years ago, someone whose name people would probably have heard before if I reveal it on this show, which I'm not about to do, threatened me with a lawsuit. And at the time, I had never read any of this guy's stuff. And he thought for sure I was ripping off his material and stealing everything he did and blah, blah, blah. You know, I said, okay, well, you know, maybe I better take a look. So I went and looked at this stuff. And sure enough, basically, he and I agreed on a lot. I didn't say things exactly the same way he did. He didn't say things exactly the same way I did, but we both agreed that, hey, you know what? We should respect women. And maybe if you don't push for sex, you'll get more sex and things that I say all the time. And I got on the phone with them and I said, look, dude, you shouldn't be suing me. You should be working with me. We should be, you know, doing joint ventures with each other's lists and stuff because you and I think alike. I'm not copying you. You're not copying me. Really, what we're talking about here is there are certain things that work in the world of dating and relationship advice, and it isn't the domain of any one person to invent those things. Really, often we can discover those truths independently of one another, and I really think that's what we've done. And, you know, he ended up seeing things my way, and we've been sort of friends ever since. But yeah, you're absolutely right. There are things that are principles that just tend to work. And probably a good place to start here would be, you know, it seems like a lot of times people market what they think people want to hear, what people who aren't having the success they want think is going to sound good and sound like it should work, as opposed to what really does work. So that's why I'm really excited to hear what you have to say. I think we should probably reveal what our core topic is because we haven't done that yet. And I thought this was really appropriate. You were really, really excited to talk about how to make anyone instantly like you. And I instantly liked you when I first met you. So.
Well, I will say one thing. This is my personal journey. This is the first time I'm actually revealing how I learned the skills I learned from my own personal life and then explaining the principles that I've developed personally to travel the world for 20 years and be able to land up in a country, live with strangers, live in their house, eat their food, chat with their children, and have them think I'm fantastic. Because I'll tell you
and
what.
Not pay a penny for it.
Not pay a penny for it. I'm a normal person. I've got foibles. I'm not, you know, there's a lot of things about me a lot of people don't like. But when you're meeting somebody for the first time and they have no context for you and you have no context for them, your job is to get that instant fitting in, instant likability. And for however long you're going to be with them, they think you're awesome. For that moment you're together, it's a fantastic interaction. And that's what I hope to share with your listeners today. Is how you can have an interaction with somebody you don't know, they don't know you, nobody knows anything, and you leave that feeling like, God, that was great. And they think, man, that person was awesome. Even if you're not a great person after all, you know, we're not perfect. None of us are perfect. You don't have to be perfect. What you have to do is learn these skills that I'm going to teach you. So what I'd like to start out with is talking about approachability first. Then talk about likability and finally talk about some of these bigger principles of instant attraction. So hopefully we'll get through it all today. If not, Scott can invite me back for another conversation. I'd love to talk to you more. But very good. Does that sound good?
Well, I think that sounds great. I want to reiterate for these guys that this is the first time you've done any kind of content in 5 years. You guys are the first guys to hear this stuff. This is absolutely fantastic. I feel honored that you're here doing that. And yes, I can't wait to hear what you have to say. So yeah, let's dig into the whole approachability thing.
Fantastic.
Give me something new from another discipline that's going to blow my mind and melt my face off all about approachability. I'm ready.
Well, here's my personal story to start out with. As Scott's already mentioned, I grew up in rural Oregon. I grew up on a farm in the middle of nowhere, and I didn't really see many people aside from my family for the first 18 years of growing up.
What, was your dad like Ted Kaczynski or what? Were you like hermits in the woods?
No.
18 years without neighbors? What was that?
Yeah, well, when I say isolated, I do mean isolated. When you're on a ranch and it's 10 minutes to the nearest road, you don't see a lot of people. And I didn't have a car. And so I was stuck at home. So as a result, when I left.
Just banjos and four-wheel drive trucks or what?
Oh, man. In a nutshell, Scott. In a nutshell.
Okay. There you go. Okay. You sound so sophisticated for someone who grew up like that.
Well, 20 years of world travel tends to do it for you. But I knew when I left at 18, I knew that I had a lot of learning to do. So here I was someone with no social skills, very little self-esteem. I was a nerd in school, didn't have a lot of friends, wasn't popular, but I had a skill and I didn't know it at the time. And that skill was when I would go places like the theater, like a train station, like flying on a plane, strangers would strike up conversations with me. Why do they do that? I was a nerd. I had no social skills. I was completely in my own little world. And yet people, if I was with a group of people, I would be the one a stranger would choose to start talking to. Freaked me out at first. I had no idea. Why do these people want to talk to me? Well, I've learned a little bit more about that skill, and I've learned to exploit that skill. And I call that skill approachability. And here's the secret to approachability. The secret to approachability is keeping your eyes open and having an outward orientation towards the world. Okay. Might sound a bit confusing because, like I said, I'm working through these ideas myself. But here's the difference. There's two kinds of people in the world. One sort of person is sitting there at that train station, walking down the street, and they're looking at the world around them. They've got their eyes open. They're curious. They're interested. They're thinking, what am I going to see to learn from? What's out there? They're looking out. There's another type of person in the world. This sort of person's walking down the street thinking, I wonder how good I look. Oh, where's my posse? I bet everybody wants to be just like me. Or I wonder if I could go in that shop. That shop's got something I like. That has something I want. And what they're doing is they're focusing inward. They're completely focused on themselves, what they look like, how they're coming across, how they can get something from the world. Now, here's what a lot of people don't realize. You know all those popular people, you know, in school, you know, the high school, the cheerleader, the stud, all those people? How many of those people do you think meet strangers very easily and strike up new friends? I'll tell you what, popular people don't have approachability, because most of the time, the more popular you are, you want to stick with your posse. You want to have the people around you who accept you because they're reflecting back to you your glow, how great you think you are. So popular people tend to be quite inward, and they don't develop the approachability skills that people who are more isolated do, more, what I want to say, the geeks, the freaks, the misfits. Misfits have a skill, and that skill is looking out at the world around them. Now, let me just give you a test that you can do right now to determine whether or not where your approachability skills lie. And here's the test. How often do you get asked for directions? Scott?
Well, I live in suburbia, but it's amazing when we travel and go other places where there's a big crowd of people or we're in a city. It happens to Emily and I quite a lot, and we usually have to laugh because we're not from there and we don't know, but we still try to help. I do get asked at the grocery store if I know what aisle stuff's on and stuff like that, and I've already learned I should never wear a red shirt to Target ever.
Oh, no.
I'll be hammered. Yeah. And it always seems like every day I wear a red shirt, I always have to drop by Target for something. But that's another complete thing.
That's
so, yeah, I see your point. You know, I am a person who comes off as friendly and approachable. And Emily absolutely is. Emily's a pro at this. Emily just seems sweet and adorable to everybody. And plus, she happens to be one of these people who's gorgeous and cute and all this stuff. And you don't hate her for it because she just looks like a nice person. And that's pretty rare. Or women don't hate her for it, I should say. One thing I would add to what you said, and I just learned this recently, is a surprisingly large number of us, when we have just a blank expression on our faces, are frowning naturally. Yes. A very small percentage of people actually have the corners of their mouth turn up just slightly. I mean, not like the Joker in the Batman movies or anything, but just there's a little turn up to the corners of their mouth. Those people are naturally more approachable just by virtue of their natural countenance. Mm-hmm. I think that's fascinating too. Then you have my little daughter who's 15 who thinks everything is hilarious and is laughing to herself at her iPod when she's waiting for a bus or something. Those people who laugh and smile, especially when they smile with their eyes, are always going to seem a lot more safer from the approachability standpoint than other people, don't you think?
I completely agree with what you're saying, Scott, about the default facial expression, because so many people don't realize that what's going on in their head at that moment is reflected in their face. For example, let's just say you're thinking about somebody ripped you off, you know, in some interaction, or how you hate going to work. You will have a frown. can't help it, your face is going to show it. And so the way you look, the way your mouth is reflecting often the thoughts that are going through your head at that very moment. So it does pay to be aware of how you're coming across. So now we've got the sense of being approachable. You're looking out at the world. You're conscious that you're coming across a certain way. You have an interaction. You can talk to somebody. You can see a woman. You can say hello, smile, invite her into your presence. Now, here's another skill. And this is a skill of, is she going to like you? We women, I want to talk about this because this is something we women have. And I don't know that men have it so much. We've got a vibe detector. I'll call it a vibe detector. And when a man has an agenda or something's a bit off about him, we want to get away. And I think it's really hard for men to know what their vibe is, because often how a woman's reading him is very different from how he perceives himself. And so where this comes from, I think, especially for women, is it comes from back in the days when we were tribal. And either you were part of our tribe or you were a stranger. And if you were a stranger, you were a source of danger. You were scary. And so we learned very quickly to read people's vibes and say, are you one of us or are you a stranger? And should we be scared about you? So this is where likability comes in. When you start talking to a person, do they think you're just like me? You're one of us? Or do they think, ah, different tribe, stranger, stay away, warning signs?
Well, I think a lot of that comes from a woman's innate sense of being in self-preservation mode anytime she's around a guy. Because, I mean, most men can beat up most women, theoretically. Whereas guys don't typically get in front of a woman and go, oh my gosh, is she going to harm me?
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is something that a lot of guys aren't in tune to the importance of. They don't realize how important it is to have that vibe that a woman's going to read as safe. That's why I talk about one of the big four being making a woman feel safe and comfortable in your presence, because it's all important to be a protector to women and be perceived as that by the woman. So insofar as men having that instinct also, I don't think men necessarily get in front of a woman and say, okay, am I threatened by this woman or not physically? But I think men do have that vibe detector that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I think, though, because it's not related to their physical security as much, sometimes they bypass it and ignore it. Like, they know this woman's going to be no darn good for them ultimately, but because she's got such a nice ass and perfect boobies, they're still going to stay with her. They're still going to run with it. That's what I think happens with a lot of guys, is we see the red flags, but we don't run away because we like what we see, because we're visual. Whereas with a woman, it's like, okay, this guy, my safety's at stake here. He's creeping me out, or he's crowding me a little too much, and I'm just not liking it. So I'm tracking with what you're saying, and ultimately I'm agreeing with you.
Absolutely. Well, one good thing for me was I had to learn the skill, because what I did for a good long while was I would find some names of some people over the internet, some contacts in a foreign country. I'd say, hey, can I come stay with you? And if I was lucky, they would say yes. Being a girl does help with this. They're much less threatened from you from the get-go. I would go flying.
So you were an early adopter of couch surfing, basically.
Oh, man, I was. I would work. I wanted to work my way around the world. So I was offering them free labor. So I was doing a little bit in exchange for their hospitality. So I would rock up in a foreign country. Boom, here I am. And I'd go live with this family and work with them and learn about their way of life. And so I had to make them like me from the get-go. I had to fit into their home. I had to fit into their patterns. And my goal was that I left that house making them feel good about themselves. So I didn't have any option. I had to either do that, or if they kicked me out, I had nowhere to go. And I usually had no money either. So it was life or death for me.
Did you ever have to milk any yaks?
No, but I did milk a few cows, and I'll tell you, I'm not great about milking cows. I don't have the hand strength. One day I'm going to master the milking of a cow, but not yet. Anyway,
it's on my bucket list.
So I'm going to give you three skills that I learned to use. And I want to tell you right off, I learned these from personal experience, from trial and error. Only later did I find out that other people have written about them. But this is stuff that worked for me, and I know it works because I used it, and I used it very successfully. The first skill, and probably you've heard this one before, is called energy matching. Now, there's a technique in the seduction community that says when you're in a club and you're going to approach a woman, you want to come in with a higher energy than she does. So I'm going to assume the guys listening understand what I mean by energy. It's like, for example, if you come into a house and everybody's relaxing and watching television, having a chat. You don't want to come in there with a loud voice, lots of energy, all excited, because your energy is discordant. They think, you're not one of us. We're all just chilling out. Why can't you chill out? And so when you go into a situation, you read the energy, you read where people are at, and you match it. You don't think, God, these people are lazy. They should be getting up and doing something. I'm going to change their energy by coming in with lots of excitement. No, you match it. Read it and then match it. Is that something fairly easy, Scott, to be able to read the energy of a room and match it?
I think so. And I think another thing guys do that's really creepy is they rapidly change their energy level. Like they'll start off all kind of subdued. Then they'll wave their arms around and yell. That's really creepy to women. That freaks them the hell out. So yeah, you have to be consistent in matching that energy level too, I would say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And consistent in matching it, remember, to the people you're with, not how you think it should be, but how it actually is. The second one is a lot harder. And I think it's almost impossible, but I'm going to put it out there as a challenge. And I call it kill the criticism. And by that, I mean silencing that snarky voice inside your head that is evaluating the other person as you're talking to them. We all do it. We meet a person for the first time. What's the first thing we do? We start evaluating them. We think, like your hair, don't like your eyes, like your nose, don't like this. You've got a bit of a weird, annoying voice. Why are you talking about that? We can't help it. We're judgment machines. When we meet someone, the first thing we do is notice every single thing about them and decide whether we like it or whether we don't. That kills connection. That kills likability, because the one thing none of us like having done to us is being judged.
Man, that sounds terrifying from the first person perspective. I mean, guys are listening to what you're saying, perhaps not thinking about how we do it to others, but oh, geez, that means people are doing it to us. Whenever people see us, I mean, the pressure we're going to start feeling because, you know, everybody's judging us. Everybody's evaluating us. I mean, that's an uncomfortable thought in general.
It is a horrible thought. And the funny thing about it is it works in the positive way as well. If you're with a woman and you're thinking, man, she's hot. Man, I'd like to get into bed with her. She's feeling that judgment because you're still judging her. Even though it's positively, she backs off. Because, hey, you're putting pressure on her to be hot and sexy, and maybe she's just feeling like she wants to have a chat. So anytime you go into an interaction and you let that voice in your head start summing up all the different parts you see, deciding whether you like it or whether or not, you are going to kill your connection. And at the end, you're going to make that person feel ambivalent about you at best, because they don't feel unconditionally accepted by you. If, on the other hand, you go into an interaction and you say, you know what? Non-judgmental. Not going to worry about evaluating her. I'm just going to flow with this experience, see what happens, see where we connect. If we don't find, and if we do find too, then she is going to feel so much more free to be herself around you. And she's going to like you, because we like people who like us. We don't like people who have measured us up and found us lacking.
As a matter of fact, everything you're saying goes for job interviews as well as interacting with women. It's just good social skill. It's good persuasion skill.
It absolutely is. And now I'm going to make it even scarier, because I'm going to add another level onto that.
I can't wait. Freak me out.
So when you are talking to a woman and you're judging her and you're thinking, man, she's got an annoying voice, or God, she's a bit fat and smelly, isn't she? And you go back to your friends and you say, that chick over there, I was talking to her, she's a bit fat and smelly, isn't she? All your friends laugh because it's hilarious, right? You are killing your seduction skills as you speak. And that's because anytime you have a critical or judgmental thought about any woman, it affects your relationship with all women. And this is where I'm going to go a bit woo-woo here, but I believe firmly that we women have hive mind. I know that's a bit of a weird phrase. Maybe I'll call it a sisterhood. When you criticize one woman, we can feel your criticism as if it were applied to all women. And I'll tell you one place this is really obvious, and that is when you go on a date and a woman starts dissing her ex-husband, says, yeah, he was this and that and the other. Don't you feel like, man, she's sure down on guys, isn't she? Because she's just talking about her ex-husband, but you feel in some way that applies to guys in general. Same way with women. When you think negative, harsh, critical thoughts about any single woman, other women are going to be put off from you for that.
Well, there's also the psychological principle of trait reversal at work there too, which is a natural tendency of human beings to assign all the negative traits that people are spewing out about something else back to the speaker, him or herself. For example, if a guy is talking to a woman and she's going on and on about some girl she can't stand and how much of a bitch and a whore she is, the guy is looking at this woman going, oh, what a bitch and a whore.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's part of it too, I think. One thing I would like to share by way of personal stories, I had a guy here who I was out in field with, and we happened across a group of four women who were together and having a good time. And we approached them and met them. And one of them was much more physically attractive than the other three. Okay. It's turned out they were all related. That's why they were hanging out. And what I told the guy to make a point to do was give all the women equal upbeat attention and be positive towards all of them. Don't isolate this pretty one and tell the other three to go away, because that will backfire for the exact reason you just said. Women can see through that. It's like, if you just want the pretty one and you don't care about anybody else, then you're just an uncaring person in general. You have a problem objectifying women and not seeing anything deeper. So after we had talked to them a surprisingly short amount of time, okay, maybe 2 minutes, and laughing and joking with all of them. If I remember correctly, one of them had broken her arm, and you know, we were making up stories about all the adventurous ways she may have broken her arm, trying to guess how she did it. And they were all eating it up. 2 minutes later, I mean, it wasn't more than 120 seconds. They're throwing their pretty friend at the guy. You should date her. She's single, you know. Uh-huh. Like, the jig is up. They know she's the pretty one.
Mm-hmm.
They know probably in the back of their mind she might be why we decided to come and approach them, because they don't get approached a whole lot when, well, she's not there with them. Mm-hmm. But we knew how to dance the dance. We knew how to run this thing. So it was proper. It was the way things were supposed to go. In other words, we got it clearly, which made them excited to introduce their pretty cousin to my friend.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has everything to do with what you're talking about. Matter of fact, I would say it's almost fully attributable to the principle you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, it's a real difficult thing to lose, because all of us have grown up dissing the other sex. You know, women have grown up saying, oh, he's such a, you know, all the unprintable words that you can't say. And men have grown up thinking, yeah, that woman, man, she's that. And everybody laughs when we criticize someone else. We make fun of somebody's appearance. Everybody's laughing with us. Makes us feel good. We made a great joke, right? But again, it comes down to what we want. Do we want our mates to laugh at us, or do we want the most attractive women to be attracted to us? You have to choose.
I agree. Keep going. This is good stuff.
Great. Well, I'll give you my third technique. Again, these were ones that work. And I'll tell you, they're brilliant when you put them into play. And this is what I call conscious compliments. One of the issues I see a lot with people is when, say, a man finds you attractive, he will tell you what he finds attractive. And sure, that's nice. Doesn't really get my toes tingling, you know? Oh, yeah. Oh, he finds me attractive. So I've had a lot of men find me attractive. What a lot of men don't realize, and women, is that for a compliment to be effective in any way, you have to be complimenting the other person on something they want you to notice. This has been so easy for me to do when I've been traveling, because when you meet anyone for the first time, anyone at all, they want to show you the parts of themselves that they like the best. So they might start talking about the book they're reading that they really like, or they might start talking about all these fun things they like to do. They will put the thing they want you to notice about themselves first. This isn't rocket science. You don't have to guess and think, well, what does this person want me to notice about themselves? Most people make it obvious within 5 minutes of talking to you what they want you to notice. And then that's your cue to say, not necessarily give a compliment, but make an observation. Say, wow, I can tell you're really passionate about reading, or I can tell you must have a fantastic job, or man, you know, your house sounds great. I'd love to come visit. Just simply observe whatever it is that you've been hearing them talk about it, and compliment them on the thing they want you to notice most. And that will give them the tingle in their toes. They'll think, this person sees me as I see myself. They get me. They've got me within 5 minutes of talking to me. I've got a real connection with this person that I don't normally get with other people.
One thing you have to know is you have a tough act to follow, because last week I had a professional poker player on who was female, and she talked about how to make strip poker games happen.
Ooh.
Which was a wildly popular show.
Uh-huh.
And a little bit of a departure for us. And one of the things that came up on that show is it's actually easier to get really hot, sexy women to play strip poker because they're more comfortable with their bodies and they kind of are looking for an excuse to show off. So you bring something to mind here when you said people want to show you what they're most proud of. And other than saying the obvious, which would be a mere reiteration from last time on the last episode, I think it's interesting that a lot of guys are told never give a woman a compliment on anything physical. And I understand that because you don't want to look sex focused. But sometimes women are really proud of the way they look physically. And it almost becomes, if you can establish that you're not about the sex and you can be sort of matter of fact about it, then you can give a woman a physical compliment and she'll be very grateful for that. The example that comes to mind, and I know that we're in mixed company here, but I know also that you can handle it because you and I go way back, Amy, is I was on a coaching call with a guy about 3 weeks ago. And he just is one of those guys who doesn't believe women want to get naked. And I told him something that I think really fried his circuits. I said, look, if a woman's gotten a boob job, she's paid a plastic surgeon thousands of dollars to enhance how she looks, she's going to be proud of her new boobies.
Exactly. Okay? Mm-hmm.
If you are casual and nonchalant and not overwhelmed by nakedness or sexuality, I would say the chances are probably 60 to 75%. If you're in the right context and it's something that can happen and you know her, and probably it's only slightly less than that if you're just then meeting her for the first time. If you say to her, hey, you know, you seem pretty proud of what you just got done there. Let's have a look. Show them off. That she'll do it. She'll just go, okay. She'll just take her shirt off and whip them out and show them to you.
Absolutely. And,
yeah. I mean, you're not the first woman who's gone right along with that. And especially if they bring it up like, hey, I just got my boobs done. If you want to see them, ask. And you'll probably see them because she's going to want to show that part of her body off, having spent so much money on it. And guys are just like, nah, there's no way. I said, all you lack is the guts.
Uh-huh.
And she probably wishes you had the guts because she'd like to show off the goods. I mean, I personally, when I was dating, had women call me who I knew and announce to me over the phone that they just got it done and would like to come over and show them to me.
Fantastic.
I mean, I've had women volunteer this, not even when they're in the same room. They will drive to come over and show them to me. Mm-hmm. And guys are just like, nah, there's just no way. Like if you've gone mountain biking and you're both sweaty and filthy and you know you're coming back to your place and you're going to cook dinner for her, you just nonchalantly say, well, you know, we can't cook dinner together all sweaty like this. Let's go take a shower. And if it's just a matter of fact thing for you, it will be for her too. And guys are like, nah, there's just no way. And here's another thing. The more proud she is of her sexy ass and her nice boobies, the better it's going to go.
Absolutely.
The easier it's going to be. And they're like, there's just no way. But it's all true. I mean, this is all just field tested over time. It really is. Everything you're saying is absolutely true. Now, if she's really proud of her 8-foot trophy she won for being the greatest gymnast in the history of the East Coast of the United States, and it's in the corner of her room, and you walk into her apartment for the first time, you go, hey, great trophy. You know, but it's no different a principle. It's the same principle. Whatever it is she's proud of, she wants to show off. And yes, that can include what's under her clothes.
Absolutely. Even things like it's really safe place to compliment a woman is what they wore. Because I'll tell you, a lot of women buy outfits just to go out. And if she's proud of her new dress or her new shoes, you'll be able to notice. And you could say, hey, nice fashion sense. Simple comment, but what it shows, and I really want to emphasize this, what it shows is that you're looking into what she is most proud of. You're not thinking inside your head, oh, well, I like your tits and I like your ass, so that's why I'm going to compliment them. No, let's just really, really underscore this point. It's what she's most proud of, not what you find hottest And that's the difference between getting her to feel like you get her or having her feel like, ooh, he's a bit of a slime bag.
Agreed. 1,000%. This is what I tell guys all the time. Let the game come to you. It's like being a really good all-star point guard in the NBA instead of just being like a guy who rides the bench for another team. I mean, sometimes really great basketball players, guys who are good enough to make the NBA, still try to force the issue in basketball games. Whereas the guys who are the future Hall of Famers, they relax and let the play form and apply their skill set in the moment to whatever's going on so that they can maximize their effectiveness, not only for themselves, but for their teammates. It's the same thing in dating. You just let these situations come to you. A lot of times I'll be out with guys talking to women and they'll be like, oh, let's go talk to this woman. And it's almost like the two bulls on the hill, the old bull and the young bull. And the young bull looks down at this valley of cows and goes, oh, let's run down there and get one. But the old bull goes, no, let's walk down there and get them all. It's the same principle. If you are watching a woman and you watch the situation unfold, it's amazing how often the perfect time to talk to her will present itself if you're just patient. And when you're talking to a woman and you want to get her number, the perfect time will eventually present itself if you don't try to ham fist this whole thing. So you're absolutely right. When you're with a woman, you notice what she's proud of and you give her the comfort of acknowledging that. Instead of saying, no, I really want to talk about what I want to talk about you. That comes across as pushy or even flat out creepy. And she feels lack of safety and security. Whereas if you're helping her enjoy what it is she wants to show off to you, the next thing you know, she's showing off the things you want her to show off to you also. All because of the safety and security. I think this is great stuff. Please continue.
Well, I'll sum it up in three words. Read and respond. Read the situation and respond to it. But reading is just as important as responding. So that's one aspect of it. That's likability. That's getting her to feel like you connect, you get her. Now, we got to move into a really difficult challenge now, and that is attraction, getting her to instantly feel like she wants things to go further with you. And here's where I'm going to bring out some really big ideas, and they might be a bit strange. So don't get put off. I'm going to explain them all. But the first big idea that I want you to consider is this. You've heard it before, but I don't think you've realized how true it is. Women can read your mind. We laugh about this, right? Oh, yeah, huh, she read my mind. No, no, no. It's true. In a, such a profound way that you don't get how women are reading you every instant of every moment that you're interacting with them. What I like to say is women actually do have telepathy. The problem is what we've thought of as telepathy, like, oh, I can read what card you're holding, or I can tell whether that person's thinking of a sun or a symbol. No, no, no. True telepathy is a skill that we're all born with. Women have it a little bit more than men because of how we're socialized. And telepathy is the ability to read minds through what I call micro expressions. This is scientific stuff. This is not woo-woo at all anymore. This is scientific fact. And the fact is, every single thought you think when you're in an encounter with a woman or with anyone is displayed on your face like a loudspeaker. You cannot hide anything you think. So let's say you think that woman's got nice tits. She can tell. And I'll tell you why. Because when you're thinking that thought, your eyes quickly glance down and glance back up again. She can read that. She may not be conscious that she knew you were thinking that, but she knows deep inside. So this is a bit scary because what it means is, not only do you have to worry about when you're in an interaction with a woman, what you're saying, what your body language is, this and that, you've got to worry about every single thought that goes through your head, conscious and unconscious, and how she's reading it. So I want to talk a little bit more about this because I don't think a lot of guys realize how transparent they are. And I'm going to come out by saying straight off, this is because I am one of those women. I hate to say it, but because I've traveled so much and I've had so much experience, and I have 9 times out of 10 been a foreigner in a strange situation, I've had to learn to read people. And so I've had this natural ability of a woman to be able to read these expressions, and I've developed that and honed that so that I've got really, really good intuition. And I can read just about everything a man is thinking in an encounter with me. For example, and I've been getting this a lot since I've moved back. right before a man decides to approach a woman, when he sees her and he thinks, damn, you're hot, his eyes flash open. Just a fraction of a second, they widen. And then you automatically see him acting. He'll start coming towards you and he'll want to talk. And you know as a woman, that guy finds me attractive because I saw his eyes widen that fraction of a second before he came to talk to me. Guess what, guys? You can't change that. That's just something natural that happens to you. It's your body language, and it happens because you had the thought in your head, damn, she's hot.
That's true. And I think there are also other little cues that certain guys do, and we don't even realize it. If I see a woman who really knocks my socks off, historically, over the course of my adult life at least, my lips part, because I breathe, I go... I know it. I know for a fact I can feel my lips parting whenever I see a woman who truly knocks my socks off. I mean, this is like the once every 3 or 4 weeks woman. I mean, I go, you know, not like gawking, but I just feel my mouth open a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you one thing.
And that's a signal.
Yes, absolutely. I can tell, like, when I've been in a long-term relationship, I can tell the minute he's decided he wants to have sex with me within the next 5 seconds. Gaze softens, his lips part, his face goes a bit slack. And I know immediately we're going to be heading into bed in about 5 seconds flat. Because, not because he has said, you're hot and let's go have sex, but because there is a facial expression that he cannot control that happens when he has the thought, I want to jump my wife or whatever.
Oh, come on. Women do the same thing.
We do this.
The bedroom eyes happen and it is on.
So what I'm trying to explain here is you have to be really conscious of every single thing that goes in your head, because it's all coming out. It's coming out in the way you look. I can read so much about men's self-esteem by the way they walk. There's two things that really tell me a lot about a person. One is the way they walk, and the other one is their lips. Now, first of all, walking. Again, I've recently come back to the United States, and I'm watching these young men walk, and they've got what I call a slouch swagger. And they slouch their shoulders, they hunch their shoulders because they don't have a lot of self-esteem. But they swagger like they're the man, machismo. And they think that the swagger will tell women, I'm the man. But what they don't realize is the women who look at them also see the slouch, which says, I'm not actually very self-confident after all. So immediately, I've got them pegged. I've got their number.
You know who's got that down as an actor?
Who?
Is the kid who plays the part of Walter White's helper on Breaking Bad. You know, the guy who's like the meth head who helps him and starts off selling all his stuff and gets beaten up by Tuco in season 1. And that kid has exactly what you're talking about down. Like the low self-esteem slouch, and he's trying to compensate for it with the swagger. And I know exactly what you're talking about. One thing also I want to add, you were talking about how women are better at catching these subtle little micro expressions.
Yeah.
They're good with that with each other too.
Oh, absolutely.
They can pick up on all the little things that are going on in their little circle of women, and they get really catty with each other sometimes over it. I'm of the firm belief that a guy can hang out with like 3 or 4 women, and those 3 or 4 women can have a complete knockdown, drag out argument together in his presence, and he won't even realize it's going on.
What we know is that words are not even necessary.
Right. It is really strange. And when you tune into it, know it when you see it, you just go, wow, this is just crazy. Mm. You know, these women are nuts. Men will just spill it out. Men will tell each other exactly what they think. But you couldn't be more spot on about women. I'm not so sure whether it's men can't pick up on the micro expressions as much, or it's just not as much our language that we use.
I think your brains aren't wired for it. I think we have brains that are very much wired for understanding what's happening in the community. Men evolved as hunters. Your job was to go out and look at the wildebeest off in the distance and gauge the right time to attack. Women stayed home in the tribe. They were in community with other women, and keeping social harmony was our main focus. So I think we have actually evolved with different specialties. And the female specialty is what I call telepathy, is reading people's minds. So if you know this, you know that a woman can look at you, she can tell what you think of her, what you think of yourself, whether you're happy in your life, what your agenda is for that moment. Even she could tell you what your hope for the evening. She can read every single thing about you. Then it brings up a massive question that has huge implications for the field of dating advice. And that is, are you wasting your time when you work on things like what should I say? What should I wear? What's the technique? Or should you be working on the one thing that any woman's going to know within an instant of seeing you, and that is who you are.
Wow.
In every single way, every thought that goes through your head, maybe you should work on that.
Guys who genuinely like women tend to get more women. Mm-hmm. For the reasons you're saying. You just can't hide it when you have an agenda.
Nope. And you also can't hide it when you don't like yourself, when you doubt yourself, when you're not sure, when you don't think you're good enough. You can't hide those things either. So what I want to do is end this with a technique you guys can try. Just try it. See if it works. I'll tell you what, it's worked amazingly for me. And that is, the next time you have an interaction with a woman, try being aware of your thoughts, thinking the one thought that will make you successful in the situation, something like, you're interesting. Pick something simple. Beam that thought to her. Imagine you've got telepathy back. She can read your mind. Give her a thought to read. Think in your head, you're really interesting. Have your conversation, have your interaction, but in your mind, consciously choose the thought you want to think. Something like, you're interesting. That's a nice, that's an ambiguous. And what that thought will do, by focusing your thought on the message you want to communicate, it will bring everything in line. It will bring your body language in line. It will naturally make the words that come out of your mouth in line. And you will communicate a hugely powerful message to her.
I think you've spoken some things that are really transformational to getting everyone to like us more, and especially women, and furthering on the attraction process also. Just fantastic. Great stuff. As always, I wouldn't have expected anything less from you, Amy.
Thanks, Scott.
Guys, I want to point you to where you can find out more about Amy Waterman and what she's got going on lately. And I got to tell you something. If you're listening to this program exactly after it was released, like within a couple of days, as a lot of you guys do, be sure to check back at this website again, because Amy's got something under development right now that's not exactly ready for prime time just yet. But when it is, it's going to be amazing. So this will be a dynamic link, and there will be other cool stuff coming in the near future. And of course, if you're listening to this show a couple months or so after it was originally released, go for it. Dig in. And the way to find out more about Amy is, as I always do, I'm going to give you the www.thechickwhisperer.com website /Amy. So that's www.thechickwhisperer.com/AMY. And you'll see more good, profound stuff. And I highly recommend Amy and everything she's about and everything she's up to. Amy, thanks so much for such a great conversation, and welcome back. It's just great to talk to you in general.
Thank you so much, Scott. And thank you all out there for listening. It's been fantastic to spend some time with you. And I hope I get to connect with you again in the future.
And speaking of connecting, if you're not on our newsletter yet, you need to be there, because I send every day something really cool that's going to help you getting better with women, getting better in your relationships, even building your social circle and getting ahead in your career. Sign up by going to www.thechickwhisperer.com, and I will hook you right up. And until I talk to you again on episode number 72 of The Big Show, this is Scott McKay from San Antonio, Texas. Be good out there.
The Chick Whisperer podcast is copyright 2009 by X and Y Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to sign up for the X and Y Communications newsletter at www.thechickwhisperer.com. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for The Chick Whisperer Podcast.